This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
Think about our lives. I'm in my life right now, I'm in a whole deal on a move of God. And that's the series title for Sundays. And really what a move of God is for me, just real simple, is it's God being so real to me that it changes everything in my life, everything that I see, everything that I hear, that when I hear things, it touches God's heart in me. When I see things, it touches who God is in me, and it moves me from where I can be potentially or where I am to where He's called me to be. And what a move of God does is it makes purpose very clear. It defines it for us. So some person or preacher or teacher doesn't have to come and define our purpose. But that move of God in our lives, man, it just makes that purpose clear. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't tell you how incredible it is for a guy like me with the background that I have and is ill-equipped to do what I do to know the purpose on my life. And a big aspect of the purpose that's on my life and what drives me, and I know Pastor Sandy, is to help you walk in your purpose. You know, it's interesting how it was years and years ago where it's like, oh my, you know, I'd leave the house and I'm going to make something happen. And man, now I get to leave the house and cheer the people in our house, this church, who are making things happen. And it's just exciting to me. And I really I want to welcome everybody in Skytook. It's incredible that we have a church service, an extension of this service in Skytook, Oklahoma. They're at the same place with God right now that we are. I mean, that's how God does this. And the incredible people in our media department, our technical people that can make it real time church in a town like Skytook. And you know, you think about it, when we went to Skytook, they talked us into doing our Hitman program, which, if you don't know what that is, We're in over 25 schools every fall. Every Monday, we have a representative of this church that delivers a T-shirt and gives a little devotion to the boy on a high school football team who had the biggest hit on the previous Friday night. Well, we started doing it in Skytook, and the next thing you know, these guys that are doing it came back, and they said, you know, Pastor, there's an empty Walmart right at the front entrance of the high school. We ought to get that thing. I said, well, what do you want to do with it? They said, man, let's put a youth church in there. And so I called the guy and offered him $500 a month, and he took it. And we had a 40,000 square foot building in Skytook that 600 kids showed up the first night. And this is a town of 7,000 people. And we ran that thing for 2.5 years, and it was 2 years of solid 600 kids. It was one night where there were 980 kids showed up for a skate night that they had there, a competition that it was the biggest indoor skate park in Oklahoma. And it just was huge. And then it turned into this church now that's right there on Rogers, right on the main street of Skytook, and is making a difference. And really, honestly, starting to catch some traction now. And that needs to be in our prayers. But I just want to tell you that we have a purpose in our lives. And there's a commission, a co-mission with Jesus that we have on this earth today. See, and that's what that move of God's going to do. That move of God is going to direct you to that co-mission. No matter how many of you guys are man, you're thinking, man, I'm too young for that, or I'm too old for that, or I'm not accomplished enough, or I'm not educated enough, or I'm not. And let me just tell you, that's not who God qualifies. Man, it isn't that we have a degree. God's not looking at our resume to see if we can get our foot in the door. It's just that we're sons and we're daughters. How many guys brought your Bibles? Anybody bring your Bibles? How many guys love the Word? You love God's Word. How many in here? Man, everybody just shout unto God now with a voice of triumph that you love God's Word. Ready? Go. Yeah! There you go. We got a that great job, Scott. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark. And let's get in the Word tonight, okay? Let's not just, don't daydream. Don't check your Facebook. Don't Do whatever you want to do, but my advice is let's get in the Word tonight because this is going to impact you. Everybody here tonight, everybody watching on the internet, welcome. You guys that are in Skytook, man, your life isn't going to be the same when you hear this because that's how powerful God's Word is. How many guys believe that? One word from God, one word can change your life forever. And you know what? Might as well be now. Everybody say, might as well be now. Might as well be me. I'm here, God. Speak to me. I'm listening. There you go. Perfect. Mark 16, verse 15. I love this passage. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who doesn't believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents and they'll drink it. If they drink anything deadly, it won't hurt them. And they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now flip one book over to the book of Luke and the 10th chapter, Luke 10. And we're going to come back to Mark if you want to put a little bookmark or your thumb or something in the book of Mark, and then we'll come back there. But Luke 10, verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And they're like, oh, my gosh. He said, oh, my, demon, the demons. Remember, he said, you'll cast out demons. And he said, man, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority. He doesn't just say authority. He says, I give you the authority. Everybody say the authority. Yeah. Say it again. Yeah. With gusto. Yeah. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you or harm you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Is it? Now, this is amazing because some of you guys grew up in church where it's like, I'm under attack, man. I'm suffering. Man, the devil's on me. Jesus said, man, don't be so amazed that spirits are subject to you. He said this, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. See, let me explain something to you. We're hidden in Christ. The greatest people who've ever lived for God are named with you. There's no separation. There's no distinction. There's no varsity and junior varsity. There's no A team and B team. I mean, you're rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now we have to, but what I want you to start thinking about tonight is how big is the gap? How big is the gap between, number one, the life you currently live, and number two, the unlived life? Okay? So who you are, how you live, what you live. And I think about it, I'm 56 years old. Gosh darn it. I feel like, honestly, I have some significance in the kingdom. I've done something for God. I really do. I feel like I have. But when I start thinking about what I've left on the table, oh my gosh. And I don't think about it regretfully. I think about it where it's like, no more. I'm not leaving any more meat on that bone. I'm not leaving any more on the table. I'm gonna serve God with such an abandon. And you know what? Are we looking for the world to validate us in that? Are we looking for religious people that are in our lives that are saying, hey, I think you're overboard. Hey, I think you're too zealous. Hey, I think that, you know, it's crazy. You're going to church again. How many times a week do you go to that church? You're going to serve when? You're going to do what? You're giving how much of your money? And see, we listen to that. Like, I'm looking for one of those yahoos to validate me. Uh-uh. And see, we've got to understand that the way this works is we have, here's my, it's audacious, but my objective tonight is to narrow that gap. Is for everybody in this room, everybody watching the internet, everyone in Skytook, especially in Skytook. Man, in Skytook, that we narrow that gap between the life we live and the unlived life that we've left out there. Go back to the book of Mark. And again, we're going to be in verse 16, but one verse previous to this, we're going to go to verse 14. I love verse 15, but then leading into 15 from verse 14, you guys still here? Okay. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. And you know what? Listen, their hardness of heart, they weren't cold-hearted. Their hardness of heart is they had just shut their heart off to the opportunity. Okay? So he rebuked their unbelief and their shut-off heart. Why? Because they had failed, or they had messed up, or because they had let fear override their faith. But he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. But listen, for the cause of, or because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Okay? The risen Jesus. Now listen. Then we go. Then what that does? He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they didn't believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And then he turns and he stops and he says, "Listen, water under the bridge, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And he's looking at these guys that had cowered. He was looking at these guys that had shut themselves up and locked themselves in. Man, you think about this. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing the restrictions that we put on our lives. These men had walked with Jesus for over 3 years. Man, how many guys have served God? Really honestly, you can say, I've served God for 5 years. But how much life do we still leave on the table? Man, this summer I will have served God for 35 years of my life. It's crazy to even think about it. It's like, wait a second. I'm not resisting the call of God anymore. I'm not resisting the life of faith anymore. I'm not resisting the risk that it feels like. We got so much to lose. No, I remember the days when Sandy and I started this church and we had nothing to lose. Man, I'm gonna go and speak to a group of pastors. There's gonna be thousands of them there about outreach, because that's what this church is known for. Man, helping people with outreach. See, you don't understand, for us, it wasn't outreach. It wasn't at all. It was just, you know what, without the resources, without hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds or millions of dollars, you just gotta get out there and get your hands dirty and help people. Man, you see somebody on the side of the road that's got a flat tire and you help them change their tire, they're liable to come to church with you the next Sunday. And you know what, we just did it that way. Man, we went everywhere we could and just said, man, invited people to church. And you know what? There'd be people say, man, you should be talking about Jesus here. That's for the church house. I know. I got to talk about it here so that I can get you there. But let me just tell you, it's a life of purpose. And see, with that purpose, is it comes amazing fruit. Amazing fruit in our lives. Amazing production in our lives. And man, that's all God's looking for us to do, is just to produce for him. And he's given us everything pertaining life and godliness. Why? It's to produce for him on this. We don't have to count on the world. Man, are you guys worried about your future? You're worried about your money? You're worried about your finances? You're worried about your job, your career? You're worried about your kids? No. I'm just telling you, the Bible says be anxious for nothing. It says do not worry, saying. Man, don't let those worries come out of your mouth. Well, I just got to be real. No, you don't. Man, you got to be righteous. See, that's who we have to be. We have to be those people. Unbelief stands between the life you live and what God's word promises. There is a gap between what God's word has promised and the life that we live. And it's unbelief that stands in between that. There's unbelief that's a wedge. Man, the place in your life, the place where you worry. Man, it's become way too easy, because it boils down to what we struggle with. And are you struggling with the risen Jesus who lives in you? Because remember, those guys are like, oh my gosh, we're freaking out. You're here. Are you a ghost? He's like, man, and you know what he did? He rebuked their unbelief and their shut off hearts. Because they didn't believe that he had risen. They didn't believe the report. I'm telling you right here tonight, all our needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, period, end of subject, no discussion. That's what the word says. That's what the word promises. Man, that God has promised us and given us everything pertaining life and godliness. Do you know that the enemies that you face in your life and the it seems like hordes that are against you that spiritually or even in society? Do you understand the culture that has been built in you, the kingdom of God, the local church? Do you understand the local church is an unstoppable force in the world? Man, I'll show you a mirror image. A mirror image. Judgment starts in the house of the Lord. A mirror image. You look at the country, it's mirroring the church. See, and what we've got to do is we've got to say we can change things. You know, you hear all the stuff about it. And let me just tell you, man, the different lifestyles and all kinds of things that are on television today. What if the body of Christ in America just went like this, click for a month? And that was for you guys from the 60s that still had those kind of things on your TV. How about this? For a month, you just turned that television off for a month. And we say, look, man, we belong to Jesus. We belong to a local church. And I'm not watching TV for a month. Let me just tell you something. Every bit of that attitude of the world will turn. And I'll tell you, there's precedent set. And how many of you guys want to know? Ask me, how many of you guys want to know about the precedent that's been set? Anybody here want to know? The early church, the first century church, the currency said, in Caesar we trust. And you know what? Those guys, man, that were born again, that saw Jesus rise from the dead, they started saying, this is not what we trust in. And they dropped that money on the ground. They quit using it. And you know what? Because Christians quit using Rome's currency, it nearly bankrupted Rome and they changed their currency. Don't tell me. He said, look, I give you the authority. What again? What kind of authority? It's the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Man, anybody in here been stung by a scorpion? Anybody? I have. I'm in my house. All my kids. It's like summertime. It's all my kids are around the house. Sandy, we're in the kitchen. I'm going to get a pot of coffee. Sandy had just made breakfast. Everybody's right there. Here's their dad, right? Man of faith and valor, right? 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 Man, just a warrior for God. I'm walking through the kitchen, going to get my cup of coffee, and I had my shirt, and put my T-shirt on. I put my T-shirt on. There was a little scorpion, a little one, little baby, little miniature, little midget scorpion in this, a fidget scorpion right there in my shirt. And you know what? I threw that thing on. That thing stung me one time in the side. Let me just tell you something. You know that guy that sang that Queen song that hit like 8 octaves? I was hitting octaves that I don't think anybody had ever hit in front of all my people. And I'm the armor bearer in our house. I'm not letting the devil in the door. I'm telling you, I'm taking all covers and I'm screaming. I would say like a little schoolgirl, but I'm telling you, it was higher than that. That scorpion hit me out of nowhere. Well, now I give you the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the evil one, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Oh my gosh. Man, it's time for us to be who God's called us to be. There's a call on your life. Just let that register just for a minute. It ought to cause you to sit up straight. There's a call on your life. God's purpose on your life, listen, is one prayer away, one ask away. That's all it is, one. But see, we have to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you may prove was that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What we might have been and who we are. You know, the parable of the talents. The guy with the one talent came back and he gave him this. He said, here's your talent. And he said, man, these other guys had doubled their production had doubled. And here this guy takes it back, and he's ashamed. And the guy said, man, it's evil what you've done. You've taken it and hid it. Why didn't you even just take it to a bank and gotten a little bit of interest on it? And you know what he said? Because I was afraid. I knew you to be a hard man. Adam and Eve. God's looking for Adam in the garden, and Adam comes out and finally reveals himself, and God said, what are you doing? What do you have on? He said, look, I was afraid. I realized I was naked. He said, who told you were naked? But both of those men said, I was afraid. Man, they resisted the promise of God. In 2 Corinthians 6:12, Paul writes and says, you're not restricted by us. You know the church, right? Church, a bunch of do's and don'ts. Can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't tell dirty jokes anymore. You can't go to bad movies. I can't even go and dance with. Are you telling me I can't go to the club and do some dancing? No, you know Paul said, you're not restricted by us. You're restricted by your affections, your own affections. And see, that's where it boils down to. Because of the affections that you have for things of the world, it keeps that gap between who you are and who God has called you to be and the life that God has given to you. And it's that unlived life. I don't want to leave any more on the table. Are you with me on that? I really don't. Man, I want to exceed every bit of worldly expectation because that's what God will do for us. And you know what? I already know about exceeding their expectation. See, you guys don't get it. We had people lined up saying, no, better men than you have tried to do what you want to do. But you know what? There was purpose in front of me. This one, I'm not leaving this one on the table. I went to Sandy when we first started the church by counsel of a older brother in ministry that I had here in town, and he just met with me. He said, well, yeah, go ahead and do it. Just give Sandy a time frame. I said, okay. He said, go to Sandy and say, hey, give me 3 years on this thing. If it doesn't work after 3 years, we'll go do something else. So I'm thinking I'm all noble. We sit down, we're having dinner. I said, Sandy, I just want to tell you, I'll commit to you that we'll give this Guts Church thing, we'll give this Guts thing a 3 years. If it doesn't work, man, I'll go do something else. She goes, shut up, it's gonna work. See, babe, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Man, let's prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Unbelief becomes resistance in us. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Natural resistance that we have never moves downward. Like you're not gonna, my flesh doesn't resist the opportunity to sit down and take a little nap. My flesh doesn't resist skipping a workout. It doesn't. My flesh doesn't resist. No, all that fleshly resistance, it's all for the stuff that will make me better. Man, my flesh isn't resisting me pushing away and not finishing that book. I mean, most of my friends are like, Shear, how have you not written a book? Finally, one of my dear friends said, you know something? Are you going to die with this recipe? He said, do you get it? You guys at Guts reach people no one else can. And you're going to die with that recipe. Man, you need, but let me just tell you that there's a resistance, and that resistance is some kind of unbelief, and we have to overcome that. I have to overcome that. You have to overcome it for your life. It isn't just me getting all real up in here. It's not just me just, okay, I'll be transparent. How about a little transparency from you? Man, who God's called you to be, the life God's called you to live, the gap between the life you're living and the life that God called you to be. What inner conversation, what conversation are you having with yourself? What does that sound like? And that's huge. That's the most important dialogue you're going to have in your life is that inner conversation. But it becomes resistance that's keeping you from your purpose. Man, we can all make excuses, give explanations, and reason this thing out. The gospel, if it's anything, it's unreasonable. It is. If it's comfortable and convenient, it's not God. Church is inconvenient. You could be on your Barca lounger right now. You could be having that fourth or fifth piece of pizza. But you know what? The Bible says this. Build yourself up in your inner man. Man, get strong on the inside. Man, let your inner man get as strong as an ox. Then let me just help you. You come into these kind of situations, you become ignorant of evil. And you know, the Bible talks about us being ignorant of evil. Man, we're flooded with all kinds of bad news and improper images. Man, you come into God's house, it's good news. I got some good news for you. You hadn't messed it up too bad. You can get back on track tonight. You can narrow that gap tonight. You're one prayer from getting back on track. You're one prayer from a clean slate. You're one prayer from closing the gap between who God's called you to be and the life you've been living. And I'll just tell you that I'm not a good enough wordsmith, and I'm not a good enough salesman to get you to do it. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God's here tonight to lead and guide you in all truth, to remind you of everything that Jesus said. Man, you know your excuse? Well, I don't know enough. I'm not confident that I've read the Bible enough. I don't know enough of the Bible. That doesn't get to be your excuse, because the Holy Spirit is present in here tonight that'll lead and guide you in all truth and remind you of everything Jesus said. Golly. God, I'm not going to be a forgetful hearer. God, I'm going to remember who you've called me to be, what you've called me to do, what you've called me to be about. Man, that life, and then that picture of a preferred life that God's word shows. Unity in your home, harmony. Man, friends that'll stick closer than brothers. Man, friends that'll look at the deficient areas of your life and not judge you for it, but you know what? Cover you in it. Man, that's the kind of friends I have. I don't have many. I got friends that'll do that, though. Man, it's not a popularity contest that we're looking for. Jesus wasn't looking to be popular. Man, he went against every part of society that was entrenched in keeping people from the life-changing relationship with God. Man, what's that gap? What's your gap? Is it here? Is it here? Come on, is it here? What? Because let me just tell you. Your one prayer from it being here.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.